You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Vera.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll find out why some Democratic women are stepping up to run for office after the election.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. Yesterday, Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction released report cards gauging performance at all of the state's schools and school districts. Those report cards showed 5 districts and 99 schools in the failing category.
Robert Menser joins us now, as he does every Friday, to talk about this and other top stories from the past week. He's a storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. It's good to be here.
So why did the state release these report cards?
So this is part of the state's kind of, it's intended as an accountability measure for schools, and it's by design, it's public. You can go on the State Department of Public Instruction's website and look up how your kid's school or your neighborhood school is doing. The report cards measure student achievement, improvement on tests, progress made in closing racial achievement gaps, which is a very acute problem in Wisconsin, and there are some other measures like attendance rates and how the school does in preparing for students for college or career.
And how did the grades look this year?
So they are mostly quite good. I mean, I guess the headline would be that 82% of public schools were meeting or exceeding expectations. The state looked at a bit over 2,100 schools, and so that's how that shook out. There were then 243 schools that rated meets few expectations, and 99 schools that had the lowest rating failed to meet expectations. And it's not really, it's really not rocket science. The schools that struggle are the schools where there is a high level of poverty, and these things are very highly correlated, and I think we've known this for a long time. And this shows it again, though it's probably notable that this year's report card had some measures that are meant to sort of control for that, or not just simply be a measure of poverty, but also because they're looking at progress and how students have changed over the course of the year, rather than just a flat comparison of like a rich district to a very poor district.
Any major changes or trends between this year and last year?
So it's hard to say. It's a little, for that exact reason, it's a bit of an apples and oranges comparison. There was no school report card last year because Wisconsin has really been burning through some different assessments. I think this is the third assessment test in 3 years. Maybe that's not quite right, but it's changed a lot. So they didn't have an assessment last year, so this is the first one since the 2013-14 school year. And some of the measures are different now. It's not quite an exact comparison, but I mean, really, what we're looking at is what you want to know is that in general, the schools seem to be meeting expectations, and then you want to look at where the problem areas are. They are in some poor Milwaukee neighborhoods and in high poverty districts in other cities around the state.
And Rob, before we move on to our next story, what happens if a school gets one of these failing grades? Is there any action taken?
So it is significant that Milwaukee Public Schools went from, in the last report that was issued, from failing to meet expectations to the one step higher than that, meets few expectations, which does stave off like a takeover or some rather more drastic measures that could be taken. And so there was definitely a possibility of some potential for heavy consequences on Milwaukee, and that looks like for this year that is no longer the case.
Rob Menser is with us now for our Wisconsin State News Roundup, and we're talking about the biggest stories out this week. And Rob, there was a breaking news about Brendan Dassey, who was part of the documentary Making a Murderer. What happened?
Sure. Brendan Dassey, of course, was the the nephew of Stephen Avery, and Dassey with Avery was convicted of the rape and murder of Teresa Halbach in 2005. So in August, Dassey, who was just a teenager, he's just a 16 years old, I think, at the time of the crime, was his conviction was overturned in August. This week, on Monday, a federal judge granted his lawyer's request that he be set free while the case is being appealed. The state is going forward with an appeal. On Tuesday, Wisconsin asked that judge to stay his decision. He declined to do so. And so prosecutors filed an emergency motion with a higher court, with an appeals court. And then on Thursday, the appeals court agreed that that the state agreed with Wisconsin, with the state Department of Justice, that Dassey will stay in prison while the appeal proceeds. So we end the week where we began it with Dassey still in prison. But yeah, for there's this weird back and forth. And for a while, I know my colleague Allison Durr of the Appleton Post Crescent was out, you know, standing outside the federal prison waiting for Dassey to possibly be released.
So what happens?
Wait a little longer.
What happens with this appeal? How soon could that be sorted out? Would there be some sort of decision there?
It could be years yet. I mean, so the basis of the appeal is that in the interrogation, Dassey, who again was just a child, and Dassey has some cognitive challenges. Police essentially lied to Dassey in the interrogation. They made false promises to him. And for those who watched Making a Murderer, it certainly appears quite obvious that he did not understand what he was agreeing to when he signed his confession. Now, that doesn't make him innocent. It certainly doesn't make Stephen Avery innocent. But it raised those questions. That was what the judge initially saw reason to overturn that conviction. And so this is it will go on. I think I would not expect a outcome soon. But the questions it raises are serious and have bigger implications.
Is it unusual for the state to step in and ask for an emergency measure, say in this case, to keep Dassey in prison, in jail?
So the state is going to advocate for it's the state is going to be understandably reluctant, I guess, or you could argue, to say that it's that a conviction that it obtained should be overturned and that we should and that somebody who was convicted should be freed. That's going, you know, these are prosecutors. That's going to be their sort of default setting. I don't know of anyone who was surprised that the state sort of took a maximalist action on trying to quash the judge's order.
And finally, this week, former Wisconsin Congressman and U.S. Defense Secretary Melvin Laird passed away this week. He was 94. Can you tell us a little bit about his career?
Yeah, Melvin Laird, a prominent central Wisconsinite. He was from Marshfield, Wisconsin, and someone that Marshfield is very, very proud of. So he was a congressman in the 50s and in the 60s, and then really made his mark on national politics as defense secretary under President Richard Nixon from 1969 to 1973. This was a busy time to be defense secretary. The Vietnam War was going on, and Laird oversaw major changes in the department. The most significant being finally ending the Vietnam War. Laird also oversaw the end of first the draft deferment program for those drafted in the Army, and then eventually the end of the draft itself and the creation of the all-volunteer military that we have today.
And here's a little bit of Laird himself on CBS's Face the Nation in 1971. He's talking about efforts for a negotiated resettlement or settlement in Vietnam.
They should be negotiated in Paris, not in the Congress of the United States, not on television or newspaper columns. It has to be done by the negotiators that are designated by the governments themselves. And that's the way to bring about a negotiated settlement.
Melvin Laird there. And Robert, what kind of legacy does he leave behind in central Wisconsin and beyond?
So Laird, beyond his contributions in the Defense Department and within the Nixon administration, where at times he was, it should be said, he was he favored, you know, de-escalation in Vietnam, and sometimes pushed Nixon and Henry Kissinger for faster troop withdrawals and so on. But he also was a major proponent of healthcare and scientific research, and one of his big there's stuff named after him, and here in central Wisconsin there's the Melvin R. Laird Center for Medical Research at the Marshfield Clinic. He has a Laird Room at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point, and I think a lot of that reflects some of his the work that he did on scientific issues and promoting some of those healthcare science.
Rob, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, thank you.
That was Robert Menser, storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He's with us every Friday to talk about the top state news stories from the past week.